My first guest this morning is here to help us better understand these possible pitfalls and the erroneous information that comes from searching the web. Joining me is Dr. Akash Agarwal from the Department of Internal Medicine at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Dr. Agarwal. How are you today?
Good, thank you.
Well, I mean, first, I think I'd like to talk about how prevalent you think, in your experience, these days, people use the internet. How prevalent is it for people to use the internet to get their health information?
I think in this age, it's extremely prevalent for people to, you know, just go to Google or websites like YouTube to get their information. According to data I came across, so about 50 million Americans were actually using the internet every month to get health-related information. And sites like YouTube have 100 million viewers per day. So,
wow.
Given those numbers, I mean, it's enormous.
It's rampant. Yeah. I had no idea. I mean, I was aware of it to a degree, but that's really staggering. So what, I mean, I know that this has been something you've been studying. What do you see as the problem in doing that?
I think the problem is that the information you find on the internet, you know, you don't know what source is it coming from, so you can't really know about its authenticity. And especially in the healthcare field, with so much information about alternative therapy, there is not much evidence in the medical literature about alternative therapies, and we don't know how they exactly work, what their side effects may be. So the information which people get from the internet, if they're not from reliable sources, they may potentially be misleading and actually be harmful for the patient's health.
I think that's a key point, that the information, you really need to know the source, and we'll talk more about that. But so you did a very interesting thing, and what led you? You presented a paper, I guess, to the 2012 American College of Gastroenterology at their annual meeting, and I'm going to ask you to explain the study that you did. But what prompted you to do this kind of thing? What put that idea into your head that I'm going to look into this further?
Well, I mean, one day randomly I was just watching videos on YouTube, and I saw an ad for like a flush therapy for gallstone, and I'd never heard of it. So I started watching that, and then, you know, that made me interested. And then I Googled up some stuff about natural flush therapies for gallstones. And then I went into the medical literature and actually found that there was actually no evidence supporting those flush therapies. And just at a random glance on YouTube, it seemed that there were a lot of videos supporting flush therapies and very vehemently supporting flush therapies and actually telling people that this was a feasible alternative to medical treatment and surgery.
So you focused on this issue of gallstones. So tell us first, what was your study about? Let's do an overview of that, and then we'll talk about kind of what you did and how you came to your conclusions.
Sure. So what we did was we actually used the term gallstones on the YouTube page and on the YouTube website. And
so you went onto the YouTube website and you typed in gallstones.
Right.
This is part of your study.
Right.
And what happened?
And then we screened the first 15 pages, because our assumption was that anybody searching for information would not go beyond the 15th page. I mean, you go to the first few pages and then search for relevant videos. And we included all videos which were in English, which were relevant to our study, and which were at least more than 1 minute long, and had the word gallstone in the title of the video.
And how many of those did you find?
So we found a total of...
I saw 300 or something?
Yeah, so the total screening videos we screened were about 300. The total videos which fit our criteria were about 228.
So well over 200 videos.
Right.
And you watched them all?
Yeah, I did.
And then what happened?
So basically, after watching the videos, so we were two physician observers, and we classified the videos as useful or misleading. And basically, the way we classified them was that for classifying the video as useful, if the video had correct information about whatever, you know, either the epidemiology, the clinical symptoms, or the treatment, so it was classified as useful. And then the misleading videos was if there was anything which the video stated as treatment or, treatment which was not proven by medical literature or other stuff which, you know, was technically wrong, so we classified those videos as misleading. And then what we did was to look at the popularity of the videos, we actually used views per day, because many of the videos, some were recent, some were old. So obviously the older videos would have had more viewership.
In totality.
So what we did was we calculated the total viewership and divided that by the number of days since upload, so that we would sort of get an average view per day of that particular video. And then we analyzed that how many total videos useful we got and how many misleading videos we got and the views per day we got. So the interesting part of the study was that out of the total videos, 64.7% videos were useful and 35.2% were misleading. But interestingly, the total viewership for the useful videos was just 52.9%. So the total useful videos were 64.7%, but the total viewership for the useful videos was just 52.9%.
So in other words, just getting away from the numbers exactly, mm-hmm. I appreciate you did that in a statistically significant way, but what you were really finding was that more people were watching the less accurate videos
right.
than were watching the accurate videos.
Exactly. Like the views per day for the misleading videos was statistically significantly higher than for the useful videos.
So what did that lead you to believe then, or what was your conclusion?
So our conclusion was so most of the misleading videos, why they were classified as misleading was because they talked about flush therapies. You know, some videos talked about yoga as a treatment for gallstone disease, and most of the flush therapies included things like drinking large amounts of olive oil, apple cider, etc. And if you look into the medical literature, there has been absolutely no evidence supporting these therapies, and these therapies may actually be harmful. And and I think part of the reason why these misleading videos were so popular was because for symptomatic gallstones, the main management is surgery, and many people want to avoid surgery, so they're basically looking for alternatives for surgery. And if they find anything which says, oh, you can avoid surgery and, this will work. So to a layman, it appears pretty attractive.
Oh, yeah. And also it strikes me, what do you think the motivation for some of these misleading videos are? Are they selling a product in most cases?
Mostly it's like alternative practitioners selling their products, and some videos are actually like medical advertisements for those, for practices of those natural practitioners, and they have these courses of the flush therapies and etc. So
in other words, it would be not only selling an actual product, but they might be selling their services
right.
if they are considered an alternative therapist of some kind.
Exactly.
So it's more of an advertisement. You can cure your gallstones if you come to me and go through this
right, and you don't need to go
sequence.
Through surgery.
Right. So that's pretty scary when you think about it.
It is. I mean, especially given the fact that the incidence of gallstones is so high, and gallstones is like the most common gastrointestinal disorder which requires hospitalization. So.
Oh, I had no idea. That's an interesting fact as well. So it's pretty rampant in the population. So in this case, it's very important if you're looking for any kind of medical information, you really have to make sure you know your sources, that they're credible sources, reliable sources, something like the Mayo Clinic. Or I know here at Upstate we have a link to library.upstate.edu, and you can get free information. They'll even research your health questions.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if you're looking for information, health, especially health information on the internet, you should be totally sure of your source and be sure that it's a reliable source.
Very good. Well, thank you. This has been very interesting information. My guest has been Dr. Akash Agarwal. He's from the Department of Internal Medicine at Upstate Medical University. Stay right there. We'll be right back after this short break.